Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is this afternoon, taken from the 18th chapter of St. John. When Jesus had spoken these words, which words? Which words had Jesus spoken? It's sometimes called his high priestly or intercessory prayer. Last night, in many churches, they observed Jesus as he washed the feet of his disciples. Then he preached a sermon or two. Then the Son turns his eye upwards and speaks to the Father, and he prays for you, his disciples, and for you, his church. He knew that it was time. How many times, beginning at the wedding in Canaan, how many times had he declared that his time has not yet come? Now, it's time. Do you remember what he did when that messenger came to him with news that his friend Lazarus was ill? Do you remember what he did? He waited 2 days. He waited 2 days, and his sick friend died. Mission accomplished. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, Martha said. Mary said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But he's going somewhere with this. It's for the glory of God, he said. I think the raising of Lazarus. He had already raised the daughter of Jairus and the son of the widow at Nain. I think the raising of Lazarus kind of cranks it up a notch. I wonder if his enemies were poo-pooing his child resurrections. If they were, it's hard to poo-poo the raising of Lazarus. He was a grown man. He had been dead for 4 days. Martha warned him about opening up that can of worms. By this time he stinketh. But watch this. Watch this. And there was no doubt that Lazarus had been really dead, and then he was really alive. What do you suppose that dead man, who's now alive, did then? I suppose he went on and lived his life, and people saw it. They saw Lazarus eating at the Roadhouse, and shopping at the Hy-Vee, and worshiping at the synagogue. Some people even made a special trip to Bethany just to see him at his house. He was kind of a rock star, Lazarus was. And speaking as a religious leader, I think that the first time you decide to murder somebody, probably it was easier for these people who had already decided to murder Jesus, because they're going to have to do Lazarus too. Oh, and having Jesus over to your house for dinner, that's what he was doing. When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only on account of Jesus, but to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. Yeah, the water to wine at Cana, that caught a few eyes. Raising children was better. I think the raising of Lazarus from the dead brought the thing to a head, and now it is time. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his time had come, he washed the feet of his disciples. He talked to them. He talked to the Father. And when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciple across the Kidron Valley. Paul Meyer, still kicking. He's my dad's age. He's still kicking too. He thinks that the brook Kidron was flowing with the blood of about 20,000 Passover lambs as the Passover lamb crossed over it. Judas was not with them, but he knew where they were headed. They were headed up Mount Galilee, a Mount Olive, I should say, a place frequented by Jesus and his merry band. It's called the Mount of Olives, but it's more like walking up Brady Street Hill or something like that, less like climbing a 14er in Colorado. Judas had come to them asking how much they would pay him to identify Jesus, and they settled on 30 pieces of silver. I think if Jesus were living today, do you think he'd be on Facebook? More to the point, would you be able to see an image, a photo of Jesus if he lived today? Lazarus, you can imagine what he could have put on his Facebook. I just put on my bike rides, that's all I do. I think if Jesus had been around today, there would probably be a lot of people who would post selfies of themselves with the Son of God. But alas, they didn't even have cameras. Judas knew what he looked like, and Judas could get close to him, and he did. Remember when the Sanhedrin asked Pilate to put a guard on his tomb? Remember what Pilate told them. He told them, you have guards, you put them on your tomb. They had guards to put on the tomb. I do not have guards to put on anybody's tomb. They did. And it was these temple police, they're called sometimes, that Judas brought to Gethsemane, and he tells us that they were packing. The King James correctly calls the place a garden, because it was like an English garden. More like what we would call a park than a place where you would grow tomatoes and green beans. And the lazy Bible translator doesn't bother to change it in most of the modern translation. But that name, Garden of Gethsemane, it has sort of taken on a life of its own. We know about the Garden of Gethsemane. And so has the name Judas taken on a life of its own. As in the Judas kiss. Probably know about that. Probably don't know about the Judas goat. The Judas goat is the goat that leads the other goats or sheep to the slaughter. And Jesus, he stepped up and asked them, what's up? And they said they were looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, I am he. And what was it about him saying, I am he, that caused them to be physically repulsed by that? It's not that he used the predicate nominative, which I agree is rarely used. In fact, there is no predicate nominative in the original. The word he is not in the text. And the King James italicizes the word he, so you can tell it's not in the text. So when they asked for Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth identifies himself actually as, the Greek term is ego, I mean, I am. I am. Remember when that bush started speaking to Moses and he talked back and the bush was telling him to do things that were maybe dangerous, and Moses wanted to know who was talking to him, which deity. And the deity responded by calling himself, I am. That's the name of God in the Old Testament, I am. And this is not the first time, maybe it's the seventh or eighth time in John, that Jesus has called himself, I am. And that raucous eighth chapter of John ends with him calling himself, I am. When he did that, they picked up stones. I don't know if they were the same stones they had been aiming at the adulterous woman at the beginning of chapter 8. To throw at him, because they knew what he was saying when he said, I am. So these people who were coming to arrest him, recognizing that they are standing in the presence of the God of Moses, they physically draw back. But he knows where this thing is going, and he knows that it's time. And he makes it easy for them. Let them go. Take me. You know, Peter was packing. and Peter was not going to go down without a fight. And verse 12 calls the arresting party a cohort. A cohort is 1/10 of a legion, which is 6,000 men. If you do that, the math, 600 cops are there to arrest the Prince of Peace. Shock and awe. Well, that's the way most religions do spread, by force of arms, by using the sword, with forced conversions. That is not, never has been, the way Christianity spreads. It spreads by the word. And Jesus tells Peter to put that thing away, put it away. Early on, while he was still a monk, Martin Luther wrote and preached a sermon for Good Friday called The True and False Views of Christ's Suffering. Luther says there are incorrect ways to meditate on the suffering of Jesus. You can hear of the sufferings of Jesus and become angry with the Jews. That's not the right way. You can lament that poor Jesus was so innocent. That's not the right way. You can blame yourself for his suffering and death, which is true. Pastor John Fenton, Detroit, I think he's gone east now, summarizes that sermon of Luther. He says, the right way to meditate on Christ's suffering is not to focus on the gore of Christ's pain, but to believe that Christ died for you. For you, he endured the severe wrath and unchangeable punishment of God towards sin and sinners. Or to quote any child, Jesus died on the cross to take away my sins. Luther quotes St. Bernard of Clairvaux, who was so terror-stricken by Christ's suffering that he said, I imagined I was secure, and I knew nothing of the eternal judgment passed upon me in heaven until I saw the eternal Son of God took mercy on me, stepped forward, and offered himself on my behalf in that same judgment. Jesus stepped forward and asked, who do you seek? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. I am, he said. And indeed he is. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.